Welcome to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM, featuring area robotics teams and special guests in the robotics world. Robotics Roundtable is supported by Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Cook Nuclear Plant. Explore careers at aep.com/careers. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. And Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, grounded in tradition, committed to excellence.
Good evening and welcome to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports, 94.9 WSJM. I'm your host, Tim Denai. We meet here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to discuss high school robotics with teams from the Southwest Michigan area. You can also catch any Robotics Roundtable discussions you've missed on WSJM.com as a podcast or see the video of our discussion on WSJM's Facebook page, which is where we are tonight. Thank you for joining us on a Tuesday evening, and I've got some guests that are good friends in the area that we're happy to have on the show, bringing in. I'm just going to start off right with introductions. We'll go ladies first and let them reveal who they are. So our female guest.
Hi, my name is Mala Shah. I've been with robotics for the last 10 years. We started our team at Lakeshore when my kids were just freshmen. So 4 years with my kids and another 6 without my kids. So it's been great fun.
Without your kids. You've just adopted a whole new group of kids, I think.
I adopted a whole bunch of kids.
Excellent. And our other guest?
Hi, I'm Kevin Russell. I'm a software engineer for Leco Corporation. I've been doing robotics for the past 9 years. The first 4 years were with my daughters and 5 years without, and enjoying working with the Robotarians here, Team 2959, as well as helping out with the rest.
Shameless plug, as he points on Facebook to the Robotarians logo. So tell me, I mean, it's been 5 years greater for each of you. What attracts you to still being involved with high school robotics and the teams, not just, helping the teams, but also both of you play an integral part with the LEGO League, LEGO League Junior, and First Tech Challenge events that we put on. You know, Mala, what keeps you involved with the program?
So in the beginning, once my kids left, I really enjoyed just working with the high school kids. So I was part of the mentor team at Lakeshore. And additionally, I moved over to the Average Joes and I was helping them for a couple of years when their mentor had to take a leave. And now I went back to the Lakeshore team. But for the last, I would say about 3 years, it's been fun putting the FLL competition on at Lakeshore. It's great to see the little kids get so excited. So I split my time now between putting on the event, getting to know the FLL teams, both at St. Joe and at Lakeshore, kind of working with those coaches. And then as and when I'm needed on the high school team, I'll go and help them out. But it's fun just watching the kids get so excited about robotics in general.
Yeah, and Kevin, I see you nodding there. I mean, a lot of, what Mala is saying, would you agree?
Oh, I echo so much of it. I mean, first off, it's robotics. I love science type things. I've been doing software since, in high school, all the way through. If they had robotics when I was there, I would have loved to have been part of it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a little bit of inner kid coming out, too, is one reason to stick with it. Because you get to see all that's going on and getting exposed to something. I mean, when the girls joined the team, I went there and I got involved and they needed some help, and they welcome any help, usually any team. And I'm like, oh, this would be a lot of fun. So, right in the beginning is me learning something and teaching something at the same time, which was interesting. Yeah. And that's part of what's coming into now. It's there's a lot of interacting with the kids and teaching the kids about stuff. And when you see the connections click, it's very rewarding. Yeah. I mean, just tonight I was at thing. I was teaching a new girl on the team for our high school team about the electronics. She's like, last week she said, yeah, I want to learn about how to wire the stuff. I'm like, great, I know what we're doing next week. So we took apart all the electronic components and boom, here, tonight's how to learn about everything. So it's seeing their engagement and love and as they grow through it too. As you were saying, essentially, yeah, it's adopting additional people for a few years.
Yeah. You know? I'd say, Mal, I mean, can you hear the excitement in Kevin's voice? You just, you know, you can hear it going. I was chuckling as you were saying, you know, if they had this back when you were younger in high school, and if I were, you know, so we're about that same age. I'm thinking, you know, when we were younger, the science experiments was us flying kites in storms, right? That was pretty much our science experiments with old Professor Benjamin Franklin. So, you know, what's kind of interesting too is Mala and I were involved in the first year that we did the Lego League event at Lakeshore. And one of the students, which, you know, I didn't really know about this until later, was somebody that's a senior on your team, Kevin, is Evie Claire. She was at that first Lego League event as a Lego League student. So here we are, yes. Just in our time frame, we've watched how they went from the younger program all the way to, you know, she's a leader in the community and will be for years to come.
Oh, I'm going to miss having her on the team as with almost any of the seniors that are going to graduate this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how if her mom sticks around, you know, because now she'll be that alumni parent. So, Mala, you know, any thoughts or ideas on what we might be looking at towards this year? I mean, it's looking into a crystal ball. The hope for being able to do Lego League and Lego League Junior again, which we were able to bring for the first time, and that was a lot of fun watching even a younger set of kids be involved.
Yeah. So I've gotten in touch with the school, Lakeshore High School, to see, you know, how things are going. It's all going to obviously depend on how schools are opening up, where the COVID situation is going. I mean, you know, everyone is getting vaccines, but the kids under 16 aren't able to get vaccines, right? So we still have to be careful around the kids. But Even without having the competitions, I know the FLL teams were meeting individually, and they did do some competitions individually as well. So they were able to keep themselves safe. I'm hoping we can do something similar this year as well, even if we're not able to have the competition. I did really enjoy the FTC competition, even though it was virtual. It didn't feel, obviously we missed the food, but
don't give away our secrets.
It didn't feel like the kids missed out. I mean, they did some fantastic presentations. So it was great to actually be part of that this year. And I almost wondered after doing that, is that something we could do for FLL?
Yeah, I was able to participate as a judge advisor. So Kevin and I had a similar role this year in that we managed the scheduling of a lot of things. And I don't know about you, Kevin, as the coordinator for the First Tech Challenge virtual event, I didn't get to spend time with students, which is my absolute favorite piece of being at an event. So it's doing all the work with none of the reward. Mala got the reward. She got to talk to students. Did you come into that, Kevin?
I did a little bit of that myself. See, being the event coordinator during the event, when things were calmer in the afternoon, I actually, since I'm in on the big Zoom, they come through it, I would jump into the queuing rooms and at least have some contact. So I got a little bit more than you, Tim.
Well, my outlet has been, luckily enough, Robotics Roundtable. I've got to interview teams and had that outlet. And that was, you know, a lot of our interviews are, you know, 8 and 10 minutes at a time or whatever, but our conversations were a lot longer before and after, just catching up with a lot of people that that are like us. They're passionate about this. But the piece that I definitely missed was being with the students, and specifically being at World Championships and being able to walk around and check out everything at World International Teams. That was a piece that I definitely missed.
So yeah, actually, you know, the piece that I really missed was I'm usually the robot inspector at the St. Joe competition.
Right.
To see all the kids and how, when especially when you're inspecting the robot, you want the kids to walk you through everything they did.
Right.
That is a piece I really missed this year.
Yeah. And Kevin is, you know, as a mentor, active mentor still with the team, being at a competition, there's nothing I'm sure that can replace that.
Yeah, the kids missed out a bunch. Luckily, the seniors last year, you know, we were juniors, we got at least one competition, which, you know, most teams across the world did not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but we were lucky to at least we got the week two competition at St. Joe's, so we got to compete there. This year, it was a lot different atmosphere doing it all virtually. You know, we did meet in person and trying to do the home skills, but there was a lot less engagement because of some of the restrictions and stuff. Some kids are like, well, I'm already doing so much through school virtually, you know, they're tapped out a bit that way. Because it wasn't that whole going to the competition is a huge thing and, you know, a big outlet and stuff. So some of the new people, it's going to be even a bigger thing when we get back to in-person competitions next year.
Yeah, by the time we get to competitions next year, you're going to have some students who walk into the gym for their first event, and you'll have the most senior mentors on a team. You know, the senior members of the team have only been to one event by that point in time. So, well, we're getting close to commercial time, so I want to thank both of you for being a part of tonight's show, and also for all the work that you've done in the community to continue to make events fun and make them available. I enjoy getting together with you guys whenever we have the moment to do so. So I do appreciate your support continuously for the show and for just FIRST Robotics in the Southwest Michigan community. This is Tim Denai with Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. We'll be right back and we'll meet with Team Ramageddon from South Haven. Hello and welcome to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. I'm your host, Tim Denai. We meet here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to discuss high school robotics with teams from the Southwest Michigan area. You can also catch any Robotics Roundtable discussion you've missed on WSJM.com as a podcast or see the video of our discussion on WSJM's Facebook page. Today we are joined by Ramageddon from South Haven. In the world of FIRST Robotics, every team has an assigned team number and they are team 4855. Hello, Ramageddon. You guys can wave to the camera for all the Facebook friends out there. Well, I'm glad to finally get a chance to sit down with you guys. The season is over, pretty much, essentially. But we're still getting a wrap on how things have progressed throughout the year and really kind of still putting a wrap on the 2020 season, which ended abruptly for us and for you guys. And we'll talk a little bit about it was a very special weekend for you back in March of 2020. And then abruptly, everything kind of came to a halt. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But before we do that, we should probably have you guys introduce yourselves. So we're going to start with the students and we'll have them introduce themselves, name what grade level you're in, how long you've been involved with robotics. And as always, we start with ladies first. So Olivia.
Hi, my name's Olivia. I'm in eighth grade. I've been involved with robotics for 4 years. I've been on the middle school team for 2 years, and this is my first year on the high school team.
Very good. Very good. And also, Zach.
My name's Zach. I'm a junior, and I've been involved with the robotics team for 5 years now.
Very good. And then also, not quite a student at the high school anymore, but Alex.
My name's Alex. I'm phoning in today from the University of Cincinnati. This is my first year here, and I've been involved in robotics for 5 years.
And you are an alumni of Ramageddon, correct?
Yes.
Very good. And then our mentors, ladies first again.
Hi, I'm Kim Wise. I've been involved with the team since 2013, their rookie season. When my son was on the team, and I got suckered in like it always happens. They just draw you in a little bit more and more. So I started mentoring in 2017, and over the last few years, I've been heading up the business team as their coach.
Very good. And then we have a new volunteer, or as Kim said, somebody who's been suckered in, Zach, mentor Zach.
Yeah, I'm Zach Van Heis. I've been with the team since 2015 as a mentor, and this year is my first year as the build team coach. So like Kim said, you just kind of get pulled deeper and deeper, and it never quite stops.
That's good. And I would venture to say that Kim would agree that you're really not sorry that you're pulled in this far into it. It's a pretty rewarding program to be a part of. So let's talk a little bit about what Ramageddon is doing or got to participate in this year. You know, if we've talked with a lot of teams, so we're exposed to the fact that teams are doing the at-home challenges, whether that's working specifically the robot or doing the game design challenge. I don't think you guys did game design challenge, but you did do some of the at-home challenges with the robot. So why don't we have either Zach or Livia, if you want to jump in and talk a little bit about those at-home challenges that the team participated in and what that experience was like.
Yeah, so we did the Interstellar Challenge and we did the driving challenges. And the driving challenges were a little bit of a new thing because our, you know, previous driver, Alex, has moved on to college and we had to figure out how to kind of work around that, and that was some new obstacles to do. But we did do well in the accuracy challenges. We placed six in that, so that was familiar ground for us. But yeah, definitely the driving was a new thing.
New thing because we had new people. And Alex, are you the one who's moved on? So that's why.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about, because I haven't heard too much. I was a judge advisor for the game design challenge, so I'm very familiar with that. But you said you guys placed sixth. How did you do recording of scores and placed sixth amongst how many?
So we did, we recorded our videos just like normal, and we submitted those. And we placed sixth out of, I'm not really sure, Kim might be able to help with that.
Yeah, so there were 30 teams in our league, the Lithium League. Yeah. Overall, you know, we didn't place quite that high overall, but with the Interstellar Challenge itself, we did about six. And that's because our shooting mechanism on our robot was outstanding. And that's thanks to not only this year's team, but last year's team as well.
Okay. Did you guys make decisions about which at-home challenges to do based upon the strength of what your robot did from last year? Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, we definitely stuck with just the driving and the accuracy challenges because that was our strong suits last year was accuracy. We did well in our St. Joe competition. We had one of the higher scores for accuracy.
So Alex, as the driver 1 year removed, what kind of experience were you able to share with this year's team then, as far as what the skill set was required, or even just kind of educate them on the process of being able to drive or operate the robot?
Yeah, so unfortunately, after the season shut down in 2020, we didn't get to have our summer skills camp. So basically, I was the captain of the programming team. And I didn't really get to impart my knowledge of even how the program worked. So they went into the season knowing almost nothing about it. So I had a lot of phone conversations with them about like even how to use the controls on the robot, what everything does.
So as a good programmer, did you document your program so it'd be easy for them to jump in and just learn what you had?
Yeah, I documented as best I could with the time that I had, but I mean, you know, the program that we were working with was basically everything that we had scrapped together immediately before that St. Joseph competition last year.
Gotcha.
Now, there were a lot of like scraps things that were like half fleshed out. So we had to work through a lot to get all that working.
Gotcha. Olivia, did you participate in any of the skills competition with the robot, you know, the at-home challenge stuff?
Yes, I did a lot of the scoring, and I helped with recording a lot of the challenges.
And then was there a certain way that you had to report that information then back to the first?
Yes, we had a document about, we had like all of our scores to, and then we had which recordings were the best so we could go back and watch those certain videos.
Okay. And then the did you guys, were you tied to certain times that you were actually, you know, that you recorded your event? Did you set time ahead that you had to say, okay, this is when my run is going to be, or did you pick the best of whatever the runs were? What was the protocol there? Anybody can chime in on that.
So basically we just kind of said, hey, today we're going to work on driving and we're going to do this course first. So we just said, hey, who wants to drive it, and kind of cycled through different people. And then as we, you know, recorded each one, we'd write down what the time was and kind of note which ones we wanted to keep and go through later.
Okay. All right. Cause I know there were a lot of questions about how was this going to happen at a virtual space. And I'm glad that there was still the opportunity for teams to participate. And it's a whole different level of, you know, how do you participate? The honor system definitely comes into play, and you hope everybody plays as fair as you do. So I'm sure it was quite interesting. So, and last year was a special year for Team 4855. The Chairman's Award is the most prestigious award within FIRST Robotics. And last year at the St. Joe competition, their team was awarded the Chairman's Award. So I want to let Kim, maybe you talk about that as the mentor. What the team wanted to do as far as trying to win the Chairman's Award, and then what it meant for the team, and maybe some of the things that you did as a group that got you to that point.
Yeah, the Chairman's Award, like you mentioned, is the biggest award in FIRST. It's for teams that have a history of promoting STEM and robotics in their communities and throughout, you know, going past their communities as well. And this wasn't an award just for our 2020 team. This was an award going back to 2013. All the kids and mentors that had been on our team, everything that they've done to get us to that point. You know, we started off, mentor Zach can tell you, a few years back, we were working in basically a supply closet in the front of our high school. And now we have a great build room and other space within our high school because the high school understands the importance of this program. And we've been able to expand on it. So we have an FTC team now, GoToGeddon. We started FLL team, KidAgeddon. It's like we have all these nice little goats and Ageddons going on, our FanAgeddon. So we have all the levels of FIRST now in South Haven. And it was a bummer because right after the St. Joe competition and we found out winning Chairman's, we were qualified automatically to go to state. And it was like 3 days later, everything got canceled. It was a bummer for the team not to be able to go to state, but to have that blue banner, we were so excited about it. And every now and then I'll just go back and watch the video when somebody recorded our kids in the stand, and I can see like Alex in the stand, you know, just sitting there in disbelief that they were, you know, saying the things about us. It was just overwhelming to win that.
Yeah. So you mentioned GoToGeddon, FTC team. Olivia, talk about, because you're a part of now two legacies, the FTC team and now the FRC team. Talk about the FTC and how participating in that kind of inspired you and got you ready to participate in FRC.
Yes. So actually our rookie year, we, at our first competition, we won the Inspire Award that is like the Chairman's Award, but for the middle school team. So now that we won that, it kind of helped us learn and get ready. And now that I've shadowed the high school team, it will help me be able to transfer when I'm a freshman. So, and the middle school team, we have done a lot of outreach this year. We've donated to Reservoir Robotics for PPE for the pandemic. We helped put books away for the library in South Haven. We've done Change the Code, which four of our girls from our middle school team went and created a website.
There's a lot that I've seen. I tend to like Facebook pages of teams. So I've seen a lot that I've seen the Geddon presence all throughout South Haven. And South Haven's an area that I cover for what I do and work, and I'm in the community, so I see quite a few people up there. And it's something that I can see that the presence is in the community. Alex, let's talk a little about Olivia. Go ahead and mute your microphone. Alex, let's talk a little bit about the feeling of being a part of the team that wins that chairman's award. And like Kim said, it's not just you, but it's the past teams. What sticks out in your mind from last year?
I mean, one of the first things I did after we won that award was I turned around to the alumni standing behind us and I said, thank you so much, because I know how important they were to that process. It wasn't any single member on that team who helped get that award. It was all of them too. And it just, like, 4 years ago, I think it was 2017, we went for that award for the first time and we were not successful. But it was at that point on, it just kind of felt like a pipe dream that we could never get to that point. But it was really exciting despite the disappointment of not going to state.
So is that kind of one of the things, now knowing that you're a part of the alumni, that inspires you to come back and help? I give you a hard time about, the code and knowing, how well you're documented your code, but is that piece that says, even though I'm on to the next task in my life, I still owe a little bit back to this team that I started with.
Absolutely. And like what Kim and Zach said, it kind of just reins you in. And I'm even mentoring two other teams right now at the same time.
Are those teams in Cincinnati or are they teams back home here?
One team is Bangor 7809 Valhalla Nation, and then another one is an FLL team down here.
Very good. So there is no exit strategy. Those of us who've been involved with this for a while will tell you there's no exit strategy. There's no better time to, or no better way to waste your time either, too. So mentor Zach, talk a little bit about, you jumping in now this year and being I'm going to say more inspired to be a part of the mentoring piece and pull it in a little bit further. Did witnessing what happened with the chairman's award and just kind of the growth of this team over years, did that kind of help drive you to say, I want to step up and help a little bit more?
I've been pretty dedicated the whole time I've been here. The main driving force was Kevin D, the former coach. Is the head of non-teaching services at the school.
Okay.
So this year he had to take over all of the COVID reporting and contact tracing and,
wow,
and all that. So he was spread a little thin and he reached out for help. I was going to be there anyway. So,
right.
It's just another step forward, and I love the program and everything it represents. So,
yeah, what's not to like about it? So we talk about the team, but then there's this additional award recognition that happens, the Dean's List. Kim, in 30 seconds, what as a mentor do you say this is who we want to nominate for a Dean's List student? What are the qualities you look for? And then we can talk a little bit about a Dean's List student that you have.
Sure. Yeah, the Dean's List students, the mentors, we take a look towards the beginning of the season about who's been doing what on the team over the last couple of years. It needs to be a sophomore or junior that you nominate. And Alex Rummel was actually one of our Dean's List nominees in the past. We're looking for students who go above and beyond. We have certain requirements that kids have to meet to be on the team, speaking engagements, volunteer opportunities, assisting with fundraisers. We're not looking for somebody who's just going to meet the bare minimum. We're looking for somebody that's going to go above and beyond, going out and helping Bangor's team or the middle school team. And so, yeah, we have a pretty amazing kid on the line tonight who's done all of that and, who helped form our middle school team, and that would be Zach.
So Zach, how does that feel, one, to be recognized by your teammates and your mentors? And then tell us a little bit, you had to go through an interview process, correct?
Yes. So there's an interview for each step of the of the elimination rounds is pretty much what it is. So I've been nominated twice as a sophomore and a junior now. And so far I've been able to go on to the state level. So I've won the competition level and gone on to a second interview. Last year I didn't make it past the state level, but this year hopefully I'll be able to go on into the, I guess it would be the world level. But yeah.
Now, there's in the, and I don't know what the numbers are this year because obviously numbers were down, but I know in the past there's been over 200 Dean's List semifinalists in the state of Michigan alone. And then we've taken it down to the top 14 that get, you know, that move from there and get recognized and be considered at the world level. So
yeah,
to not be, you know, to not advance past the state competition, it could be disheartening, but you're one of 26, 27 students, which is still something that definitely should be very proud of.
Oh yeah. No, it's a great honor to be even nominated for the Dean's List Award, let alone move on to the state level.
Well, very good. And good luck to you. I know the second interview has happened, and now it's all in the deliberation part. And I, as a judge advisor, I'm aware of a lot of the discussion that goes on behind the scenes. And the way that we kid around about the judging of that particular award is it's like picking your favorite puppy when each of your favorite puppies has $100 bill tied to them.
Yeah.
So you guys, I'm sure, have made it difficult for them to make a decision. And we're at that point in the show where we give everybody a chance to give a shout out, maybe recognize some of the people who have helped with the team, with them personally, whatever it is till this point in their careers. So we will again start ladies first, and we will start with Olivia.
I'd like to give a shout out to Team 16204, Go to Geddon, and the coaches, my mom and Logan Haverly.
Very good. Zach, how about you? Student Zach.
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to all my robotics mentors and coaches, but especially Kevin D for recognizing my skill and giving me the opportunity to actually make a sculpture for South Haven High School and being able to display that.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook that had happened. I'm going to make a trip up there to see it in live as opposed to the picture. So congratulations to you for getting the opportunity to do that. Alex, how about you, sir?
I have to give a shout out to my brother because, I mean, when I was a kid, he taught me how to program. He's basically part of the reason why I'm even here right now. He's done a lot for the team. He helped program the swerve drives, which took us to our first world championship. So. Shout out to him for sure.
And your brother's name?
Oh, Joel. Sorry.
Good. I just wanted to have you say that. So I didn't. Earlier, while we were not on air, I called Alex, mistakenly called him Joel. So I just wanted him to say his brother's name. Mentor Zach, how about you? You want to give any shout outs?
Just really some appreciation for all the judges, the volunteers, and everybody at first that made the season possible through, you know, non-ideal circumstances, and had to kind of scrap all their game ideas to come up with something that we could do at home.
I can tell you on behalf of the judges, judge advisors, we enjoyed the opportunity to get to do something that all of us are passionate about, to still be connected to something. We were more than happy to be a part of anything that could let the teams continue on this year. Kim, how about you?
I'd like to give a shout out to South Haven Public Schools, Kevin Schooley, the superintendent there, and everybody that was able to let us come into the school and meet with the kids in person twice a week. We worked on a safety plan. We did the daily health screenings and all that good stuff. So, you know, thank you to the school for allowing us the opportunity to meet with these kids and keep them engaged. And my husband, Ron, who served as our safety mentor this year.
So what qualifies Ron to be the safety mentor? Share that with the listening public, Kim.
Well, he was the fire chief here in South Haven, and he retired last year, so he had a little extra time. And I said, well, guess what? You're doing now, buddy.
So you put him to work because you couldn't have him have all that free time.
There you go.
Very good. And I'm sure it probably wasn't very difficult to get him to participate. I know he's been a big supporter of the team in the past years, too. So let's talk about what moving forward this year. We didn't mention too much about it, but summer skills camp, because now we have a positive outlook and we're thinking the next season is going to be much different than what we've just experienced. So talk about what summer skills camp is and what's the hope for the team moving forward. Kim, start off with what it is, and then we can talk about what the team's expecting.
Sure. So every year we bring kids in, you know, doesn't matter what type of experience they have. We get the mentors together. We decide what we're going to do for the year. And so we just bring them in for either, you know, a week straight, or we might just say we're going to meet every Tuesday and just work on driving the robot, doing some programming, different little things. A few years ago, we built the augmented reality sandboxes that we take to elementary school. So we try to do something fun every year. We've worked on like a t-shirt shooting cannon and fun stuff like that. And I know that mentor Zach has some fun stuff that we have planned for this year too, that he can talk about.
Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah. So we've bought some Mark III Swerve Drives kits from Swerve Drive Specialties. And we're really, really excited to kind of get an upgrade going. So we're going to put a driving base together and kind of explain that to the newer kids and just kind of start from the ground up. And then Joel will be leading a programming boot camp with some of the newer kids as well. So Alex, if that's news to you, I'm sure you can weasel your way into helping. We'd love to have you.
As the little brother, you can always be the assistant. That's what I always did for my younger brother. Olivia, are you kind of excited about the skills camp? I mean, now you're moving out of that FTC into FRC, and this is something you get to participate in.
Yeah, I'm excited to be able to participate and help out with it.
And Zach, mentor, or not mentor Zach, but student Zach.
Yeah, so I'm excited just to, you know, we're going to be able to use those new Swerve Drives. We're always looking to better ourselves from year to year. So that's part of that. And we're going to try and, you know, I'm sure use Joel's help a lot for that and being able to make a base and use that a little bit.
And Alex's help.
Of course. I'm
putting a plug in for Alex. So, I'm going to throw out one question. This is to mentor Zach. So what is something that you've seen over the course of years being involved with the team and even now into this more defined role, but you've always been part of the mentor team. Tell me something that you have seen that when the students were first faced with the challenge, they just didn't kind of think that they were going to get there, but you knew they would. Does something come to mind where you've experienced that and it's just, you know, it's been fun to watch as a mentor?
I think the biggest growing point for the team has been our willingness to not shy away from challenges. You know, when I started, every year we've added something new to the robot, a new technology or a new use for something. My first year, we didn't use pneumatics. That was for Steamworks.
Okay.
So we had an electronic linear actuator that took 3 or 4 seconds to close. And after that season, we said, all right, we need to use pneumatics. And so, you know, we stepped up to there and we added Swerve Drives, and then we modified Swerve Drives from the kit so that, it suited our needs better. And every year we've kind of added something new. And it's just great to see that the kids are always willing and will always want to push that envelope a little bit farther.
Thanks. That's a great example. And that's, you know, that's part of the, I think that's the growth. That's what creates a team that isn't afraid to take challenges, step kind of out of your comfort zone, because that's where the success is out of your comfort zone. And that's what gets you to the team that becomes successful, that has Dean's List students who gets considered at the state level, becomes chairman award-winning teams. And everything you're doing in the community is enjoyable to watch. I want to thank you guys for taking time to join us today. This is also the last show for our season. Our sixth season comes to an end. 8 weeks ago when we started this out, I wasn't really certain how this was going to go, but I'm glad that we were able to continue doing this. And I have to thank the folks at WSJM for allowing us to do this, putting Robotics Roundtable onto the air, having area teams have the ability to come talk about what they're doing and sharing that information on their Facebook page. I do appreciate WSJM continuing to support Robotics Roundtable, all of the sponsors who support us, and then also a special shout out to Kristen at the radio station, who has been quote unquote my producer. Everything gets recorded, sent to her, and she tells me how we're doing, and she's been phenomenal at it. So I wanted to make sure I got a chance to thank her. And again, Ramageddon, it was great to have you guys on the show. I do truly look forward to the point where we'll be able to get together, do some things in the community, and be ready for kickoff for 2022 before we even know it's here. Thank you guys very much. And for everyone else, thanks for listening to Robotics Roundtable, News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. This is Tim Dunai signing off for the season.
Thank you for joining Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. Robotics Roundtable is supported by Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Cook Nuclear Plant. Explore careers at aep.com/careers. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. And Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Grounded in tradition, committed to excellence.